Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening to talk a little Mississippi State sports with you guys. Rhino down there in Studio X, he will dot all the I's and cross all the T's on our TPS reports to make sure everything is handled in an orderly fashion as we get to the end of this episode. If you want to join us, the place to do it is the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Later in the show, in about 13 minutes actually, Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball was going to join us. Talk a little MSU baseball about what's happening this season, but also, more importantly, about this coaching search that's going on, and get his thoughts on who could be the next skipper of the Diamond Dogs here in Starkville. Obviously, a good weekend for Mississippi State baseball, taking 2 out of 3 from the Ole Miss Rebels. State's now 6-1 since the decision to move on from Coach Chris Lemonis. It's interesting, and somebody mentioned this yesterday on Sports Talk Mississippi, that, you know, what's Parker doing differently? And I don't necessarily know that he's doing anything differently X's and O's or you know, strategy-wise. I just think that, and I don't want to phrase this in a way that makes you think, I think that Lemonis was a negative influence on his team's mindset. But at the same time, those guys are smart enough to know that their coach was in trouble, that there was a chance that as they continued to lose, it was going to cost their coach his job. And in some odd way, once it did cost him his job, they were free at that point to just play more stress-free, to play looser. So on Friday's Thunder and Lightning podcast, I have a conversation with former Diamond Dog Cole Gordon, who, of course, not the same, but a similar situation that he played for an interim coach. And how he reacted, how the team reacted to that. So you'll check that out. That'll be on Friday's Thunder and Lightning podcast. But he kind of echoed those comments to give you a spoiler alert that, you know, hey, now they can just breathe and worry about playing baseball and worry about winning. And he talked about how, do you want to be remembered as the team that got your coach fired? Or do you want to be remembered the team that did something? The 2018 team did something. And it's a good point. You know, when you think about the 2018 team, the coach getting canned in the first weekend of the season, no pun intended with canned, it's not the first thing you really think about. You think about that College World Series run that they made. So I think that's more it than anything else. If you watch the team play this weekend, I thought that, you know, they played with, and then they did, the same thing can be true about the Kentucky weekend as well. They just played baseball out there, and it didn't feel as heavy. And I think the atmosphere has been really good these past couple of weekends, you know, the last 2 weekends of the season, but you had great crowds at all of the games. You had Mississippi State fans, you know, supporting their team and not – there was definitely an undercurrent of, I want to support this team, I want to cheer for the Mississippi State Bulldogs, but I don't want Chris Lemonis to be the head coach anymore. So what do I do? That was a real issue for State fans over the past few weeks, maybe even past few years, if we're being completely honest. And now that that's been lifted, it feels like everybody can just get on the same page and just support the team that they want to support going forward. They're playing really good baseball right this second, and they have a chance to finish. Think about where we were, you know, after the Florida series. State was 7-14. And now they're sitting at 12 and 15, chance to finish at 500 if they can sweep Missouri. Now, that's going to be a tough task. Missouri should be playing with a ton of confidence after sweeping Texas A&M last weekend. And as I've said many times before, you know, I feel like if State had gone up there to play an 0-27 in the conference Missouri team, there would have been a lot of pressure on State to get the sweep and not be the team that finally lost to them. By Missouri getting wins this weekend, that pressure alleviates itself. And honestly, State just needs to win the series. If they finish 14-16, their RPI is good enough. They'll be in the tournament. No questions asked. They finish 15-15. You got a real chance to be a 2 seed, and a 2 seed that nobody wants to play. Because now we're talking about a team that's 9-1 in its last 10. We'll see what happens when they head over to Hoover next week. But that's a 2 seed that, you know, not only do you not want to play them, but from State's perspective, maybe you go from playing on the left side of the bracket with the top 8 seeds to the right side with the bottom 8 seeds. What if you're the 2 seed in the 10 seed national seeds regional? Well, that's a much better situation than being the 3 seed in the number 3 or 4 seeds regional, which is kind of where State is right now. I saw our friend Jacob Rudner from Baseball America, and his bracket projections today, and I'm just telling you that if you're a Mississippi State fan, if you could sign for these in blood right now, you should absolutely do it. Listen to the draw for State here. He has State as the 3 seed in the Conway, South Carolina regional. So number 9 national seed, Coastal Carolina, with NC State, Mississippi State, and High Point. You would be hard-pressed as a Mississippi State fan to get a better draw than that. And we've talked to Jacob before about the way he does it. He tries to predict how he thinks the rest of the season is going to go, along with how he thinks the committee will look at things in those projections. So he's basically telling you he thinks State will sweep Missouri this weekend and maybe get a win or two in Hoover and put themselves in a position where they can be, and that's as a 3 seed. They could. I mean, now we're talking about if you move up to a 2 seed, are you the 2 seed at the – you only have so many regionals you can choose from, by the way, because the SEC has so many host sites. But are you the 2 seed in L.A., out at UCLA? Will they send State out west? I don't know. They have Kentucky going to Corvallis. Could you get that one? Could you go to Clemson? Well, that's where Ole Miss is the 2 seed right now. Could you go to Fort Worth? That's where Oklahoma is the 2 seed right now. So you got a lot of – you know, again – and for those of you who don't know, I had this discussion with a USM fan who thought I was trying to gerrymander the SEC into more bids. It is an NCAA rule. You cannot go to a regional of a team that you're in the same conference in. They will set up the matchups where the super regionals, they're just unavoidable, right? You will have SEC versus SEC super regionals if seeding holds sometimes. But Mississippi State cannot go to the Baton Rouge, the Nashville, the Fayetteville regionals. They just cannot. That is a NCAA-wide rule. We have to talk about Evan Sierry and what he did Saturday night, Friday night in Starkville. One of the all-time pitching performances at Duty Noble Field. 8 shutout innings, 15 strikeouts, never got to a 3-ball count. Absolutely dominated an Ole Miss lineup that, as Borky pointed out, 2 hours prior to that could not stop hitting the baseball out of Duty Noble Field. They had their way with Pico Khan, but then Sierry came out and just owned them, and it was really something to watch. Of his 15 strikeouts, 12 of them were a swinging strike three. So it's not like he was just, you know, nibbling the corners and getting the calls. He was making Ole Miss chase, and they could not catch up to what he was doing. And it was really fun to watch. And even if you're an Ole Miss fan, you have to tip your hat and say, oh, this kid just had it tonight. So, and as a result, he was SEC Pitcher of the Week. He won the Ace Bolton Screw Ace of the Week on Sports Talk Mississippi, which is the most prestigious of all these awards, I might add. He was the Golden Spikes National Pitcher of the Week. He won another award today. I could search through my email, but I guess when you have that kind of day, it's just not surprising. Really, really good game from Evan Sierry. And State's going to need that when they get into the postseason. You know, for Sierry to, you know, I it will be difficult to replicate those kind of performances. And I was a little surprised today when I saw the news that State's just going to keep its rotation the same. So Pico Khan on short rest will throw on Thursday. That's after a week where he threw on short rest the week before. Remember, State was rained out on Friday against the Kentucky series. So Pico pitched on Saturday, then came back on Friday. Now he's going Friday to come back on Thursday. I really thought State might tinker with that a little bit and maybe push him back to Friday, maybe leave Ligon off the weekend rotation and let him go first game in the SEC tournament, something. Instead, Justin Parker decides that he just wants to go with this guy. Now, maybe he's talked to Pico, and Pico tells him, I feel fine, I'm good, it's not going to be an issue. But it was a little surprising for me to see no changes in that rotation. And we'll see what it brings. Don't forget Thursday, Friday, Saturday series this week with the Missouri Tigers. Everybody in the conference, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They give everybody the extra day of rest as they get ready to go to Hoover. First games on Tuesday of next week. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some more baseball with Aaron Fitt. Covers the sport for D1Baseball.com. Get his thoughts on this team. Spoiler, he likes this team. He thinks they can make a run. But more importantly, we'll get his thoughts on this coaching search and where he thinks that it's headed. And where who he thinks could be the next skipper here in Starkville. We'll do it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
All right, no time to waste. Let's get right into it. Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball. Mississippi State Baseball, obviously a lot going on both on the field and around the program right now, so we're going to keep having guests on to talk about it. Aaron Fitt, D1 Baseball, one of the top voices in college baseball right now. And Aaron, let's start with the team itself and what they're doing right now. They're 6-1 since the decision to move on from Coach Lemonis. Playing, I think, pretty good baseball, and now have put themselves in position to be in the NCAA tournament. Your last bracket projection had them in the Tallahassee regional, which was, I don't know if you want to go there the way they're playing right now, but in is better than not. What's the ceiling on this team the way they're playing right now? Could they make a run similar to what, you know, you think about the last time State had an interim coach, they ended up in Omaha. I don't know if that's possible, but what do you think about this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's possible. You know, there's a reason this was a preseason top 25 team. I mean, we liked the talent heading into the year. And, you know, I think now they're playing more to what we expected, you know, heading into the season. I mean, I think for me, I look for teams in the postseason that are strong in the bullpen. And I think that's, you know, maybe Mississippi State's biggest strength is it's a really good bullpen with a lot of depth and power arms and variety. And, you know, and I think the starting pitching is solid enough. I mean, and the lineup is solid enough. I mean, it's not like, you know, there are better lineups, but I think, you know, you've got some guys who've done some damage. Obviously Ace Reese has been a revelation, you know, as they thought he would be, but I mean, he's been awesome in conference play and really carrying a big load there. So, yeah, I think they're a pretty balanced club, you know, and certainly I think they're capable of making a run to Omaha, you know, and any kind of SEC team, you know, with preseason top 25 talent. I mean, if they're playing well at the right time, any of them can do it.
I don't think it could have gone better for State last weekend. They win the series with Ole Miss, but more importantly, I thought, was Missouri getting off the schneid. I thought there would have been a lot of pressure on State. Yeah. If they had come in and Missouri was 0-27, did you have to sweep them? Now it's just about winning the series. If State can win this series, can they push up into being a two seed, do you think?
Possibly. I mean, right now in the RPI, they're, what, 32? I think if they sweep, they get to 15-15, that you're probably looking at a two seed, remarkably, for a team that looked dead in the water a few weeks ago. You know, I mean, that RPI will be roughly where it needs to be, I think, especially if they win a game or two in Hoover. And yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right now in that 2-3 line right now, which is, again, kind of remarkable.
You've had a chance to talk to Justin Parker in the past, and I think he's very impressive. I don't think he's going to be the next head coach at Mississippi State, but do you think if he has a successful run here, he'll be a head coach somewhere else next year?
I mean, I think It kind of depends, you know, what kind of job he wants to take. I mean, you know, most likely he'll wind up probably being a pitching coach somewhere else in the SEC. I don't know that he's going to get another SEC job, and he might, but I think he could be a really good, like, high mid-major hire as a head coach. I mean, and maybe he gets the Mississippi State job. Who knows? If they just keep on winning. I mean, at some point, you know, it becomes hard to ignore. So, you know, let's say they get to Omaha. I mean, I think you ride with that guy, don't you? I mean, I would. I know that they're interested in big game hunting and the fans want a splashy name. But, I mean, it's not like – it's not the same as Gary Henderson, where Gary was kind of on the backside of his career and, you know, maybe more of an understated personality and maybe just not quite what they were looking for at that time. But, you know, Parker's still kind of a rising star in the coaching ranks. And so I think if he proves that, hey, we can get this team to Omaha, maybe even if they don't get to Omaha, let's say they make a super regional, I don't know. I mean, I think he deserves a really hard look. I mean, he's a very talented coach.
I've been surprised. I knew this job would have some interest, but the level of names that are being thrown out by you guys at D1 has even caught me off guard. And I asked Kendall this question a couple of weeks ago, so I'll ask it to you. But it seems like, you know, you go back to 2018, Chris Lemonis wasn't on anybody's original hot board. That was not a name people were talking about. But that ends up who's the coach. So I asked Kendall, you know, who's the Lemonis of this hire? And he said, it won't get to that for Mississippi State. He seemed really convinced they're going to get a big name coach. Do you have that same level of conviction?
I think they probably will because of the timing. I think that helps, you know, the fact that it happened. I mean, you know, we didn't love that it happened in the middle of the season just because of, on a personal level, we like Chris Lemonis. I mean, yeah. Who doesn't like Chris Lemonis? But I get why they did it. And it probably does give them a nice head start on this whole process. And so, I think the timing makes it so that they could probably really go get a big fish if that's the route. And if it doesn't wind up being Parker, I mean, you know, there's a lot of interest in this job. There really is. And there should be. I mean, it's, you know, as we all know, it's the best facility in the country and it's an incredible fan base. And, you know, they won a national title. They've got pedigree, all that stuff. It's got a lot to offer. And so I'm not surprised by the names Kendall's been throwing out there and hearing around this thing. It's going to be a fascinating search. It really will.
Couple of the names we talked about earlier in the week, which were only like the first hot boards that came out, were Chris Pollard and Mark, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Mark Wazowski at Oregon.
Wazikowski, yeah.
Wazikowski, thank you. There we go. I needed that. And those were like the early names. And then you started hearing, well, no, Brian O'Connor might be a name of interest, and Wes Johnson might be a name of interest. And they've kind of fallen back a little bit. If State misses on a guy like an O'Connor or a Wes Johnson, those feel like really good, safe fallback options for State. What's the interest level maybe for those two guys?
Yeah, Pollard's an interesting one because I think he'd be a slam dunk hire for anybody, you know, any job in the country. I just think he's an absolute stud. I mean, look at what he's built at Duke, a place that hadn't been to a regional in like 55 years before he got him there. And since then, they've been a mainstay in the postseason. They've won three regionals. They've been knocking on the door to Omaha at Duke. You know, and some of the worst facilities in the ACC, really. I mean, they were playing in the Durham Bulls Park for a while, and it's AAA Park, the giant AAA Park, and you get, you know, 300 fans there. It was not ideal either, and now they're back on campus. But I will say this for Pollard. I mean, he lives right around the corner for me. I know him pretty well. He likes it here. You know, I mean, he's had chances to leave before. I think he probably could have gotten the Miami job if he'd wanted it. You know, Rice at the time was a big name job when it first came open after Coach Graham retired, and he could have had that job, but he likes Duke. I mean, he likes living in Durham. I think his kids are getting older though now. I mean, maybe I don't know how old they are exactly, but maybe toward the end of their high school careers, and maybe that's a factor that would make him more likely to move on. But I mean, if they're still trying to finish up, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he wants to displace his family while his kids are still in school. That's just, I haven't heard him say that, but that's my read on it. But, you know, he's an interesting name, and Wazikowski, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's a West Coast guy, for sure, but I mean, he's also coached in the SEC. I believe he was on Andy Lopez's staff in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to double check that. It's been a while, but, you know, I think he wins everywhere he goes. And, you know, he's got kind of an SEC mentality to him, and, he's an SEC level recruiter and developer. I mean, he's gotten Oregon to back-to-back supers, and they might get to Omaha this year. I mean, he's won a lot. And you look at kind of the Jay Johnson model, you know, a West Coast guy that came to the SEC, and I was kind of wondering how that would work out. And it's worked out great. So I think Wad would be another absolute slam dunk. I mean, either one of those guys, you're getting a really good coach.
What about Butch Thompson? What are your thoughts on maybe him making the move back to Starkville?
Yeah, I mean, another one, like it's a home run if you can get him. You know, I mean, obviously he really likes where he's at Auburn, but has a lot of fond memories in Starkville too. So, you know, that's certainly would be at the top on my board as well.
Let's do it. Let's do this. Tell me who you think is the most likely best candidate. The guy you think would be the absolute floor. Like if State fails everywhere else, they can know they can get this guy. And then who's the most likely candidate in your opinion? As we sit here right now, we've still got a few weeks left before this hire is even going to happen. You got the content we're getting out of this is fantastic. I know you guys love it.
I'm sure Kendall really loves it. He lives for this stuff.
Yes.
I'm not as good at the speculation on this stuff as he is. That's really Kendall's department. But I mean, you know, I mean, any one of those names that we just talked about, I mean, I think that the Pollard Wazikowski here, would make a lot of sense to me. That feels like, you know, Wise kind of feels like the guy for me. I don't know. I'm just, again, I haven't spoken to Waz. I have no idea what his interest level is. I would imagine he's pretty interested. Yeah. But, you know, if I had to pick a name today, maybe that's what I'd go with. I kind of like that fit. You know, I mean, Butch, I mean, is another one that all these guys, they're all really good names. It's a good situation to be in for Mississippi State.
It's really crazy how much more interest there seems to be with this in this hiring cycle. And I don't know why that is, but more so than there was in 2018. And you go back to 2018 and Schlossnagel was mentioned. Dan McDonald was mentioned. I think Butch might have had a little bit of interest at that time, but not a whole lot. This time it seems like every big name that would, you know, nobody's going to mention Vitello, I don't think, or Jay Johnson coming over from LSU. But outside of that, I mean, Wes Johnson especially, that one caught off guard. I guess my question is, why is there so much interest this time around as opposed to 7 years ago?
That's a great question. You know, and I wonder if it was just because 7 years ago, again, the timing was different. I mean, that was, you know, at that time it was at the end of the World Series, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, there was
a much later start.
Yeah. And so, I wonder if that's it or they, you know, I think they just also, they went really big game hunting and none of those kind of panned out and, you know, just for whatever reason. I mean, I don't think it's because those guys weren't interested. It's just they wound up deciding that they were happy where they were because they had great jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was the lack of interest last time around. It just the fit didn't quite happen the way they wanted it to. And I think this time it probably will.
I've been making these jokes that, you know, O'Connor and Wes Johnson have both denied it. So I assume they're both going to be the head coach here next
right.
year. We're going the Schlossnagel route with that particular thing. We'll see what happens, and I'm sure we have to talk to you again between now and then. Aaron Fitt, D1 Baseball Man, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Huntington's
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you ever missed this show, if you missed Sports Talk Mississippi, always available as a podcast wherever you get podcasts or at supertalk.fm. And, of course, there is the Thunder and Lightning podcast, which has 5 days a week, Mississippi State sports, great interviews, great times, great laughs. It's a lot of fun. Check us out. And, of course, if you're an Ole Miss fan, we have the Rebel Report with Michael Borky. For Southern Miss fans, we have the Eagle Hour. We got you covered here at Super Talk for all your Mississippi sports. I want to thank Aaron Fitt for two reasons. One, for joining us, but two, Mark Wazikowski was missing a syllable there for these past few weeks. Glad we got that taken care of. I was going to talk about something else, but Dan in Hattiesburg asked a question here, and I'm going to answer it. On a serious note, how do you think Cannizzaro would have done if he had not had the distractions? So I was talking after my interview with Cole Gordon. I was talking to him afterwards, so it's off the record, but it's not nothing bad here. What I'm about to say, maybe you may find controversial. You mean some people, being a homer, I don't feel like I am. He would have been like Vitello. That guy was built to recruit. he would have gotten elite players into Starkville. And then with the power of NIL behind him, he would have dominated in the transfer portal. Would have absolutely been an elite coach. Would have won the same national championship that Lemonis did and might have won another one in 19, to be totally honest with you. If he had been locked in as the coach, I have no doubt that Mississippi State would be one of the top 2 to 3 programs in the country right this second. I just don't have any doubt about it in my brain. So that hurts to hear because he was right there, and the plate was set for him to do that, and he let his own actions get in the way of it. But no doubt in my mind that in the transfer portal era especially, Andy Cannizzaro was built for that. Would have recruited his butt off at every stop. So, yeah. Kind of sucks. If you're a State fan, you're just like, oh, no! There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that 17 team that he coached had no business being in a super regional. More than half the pitching staff was out for the whole season from the previous year with the Tommy Johns. And he and Brent Rooker and Jake Mangum carried that team to a super regional. They were 2 games away from going to the College World Series. So, yeah. All right, today here in Starkville, we got the word that a contract extension was offered and accepted by Zach Selman. He'll be with us for 4 more years. Slight pay increase, not a ton, just a $25,000 pay increase per year. I say that like, it's funny how when numbers are big, you're like, he went from 1.05, I don't know. He got a $25,000 a year raise. On his salary, that's not a huge thing. What's 25 grand a year on your salary? What's it on mine? I'd be like, oh, wow, I got that much? So it's funny how that works. But also what they're calling, I think, a retainer bonus, or I don't know. It doesn't matter. Basically, every year he's here, he gets another 100 grand. So he has a chance, if he lives out the contract, to make an extra $400,000. So Borky asked me about this on Sports Talk, but we'll bring it here. And that's, deserved or not. I'm going to go the opposite route of the way I went on Sports Talk and say, when you think about Zach Selman, the first thing, with any university, with any athletic director, the first thing you look at is the overall health of the football program, because that is what determines the overall health of the athletic program, right? Football's not good, it's tough for everything to be good, because football's your moneymaker. And on top of that, when your football team is bad, it's tough to shake that off. You can have an elite basketball and baseball program, but if your football team's bad, it's still like, eh. Because we live here in Mississippi. We love football. That's our number one thing. Zach Selman's football coach went 2-10 last year. The guy that he hired went 2-10 last year. And regardless of what you want to talk about, State situation, what Lebby inherited and all that, he went 2-10. And so there's going to be a natural, how good a job could Selman be doing? And I get that. But, and we always like to say on this show and others, that two things can be true at the same time. The overall health of the Mississippi State Athletic Department is pretty good right now. Both your basketball teams made the tournament. Your soccer team is the SEC champion. Your softball team is having its best year maybe ever. Baseball is going to the postseason, and you were pretty decisive, and you're going to get it. And everybody says, you just heard what Aaron said, you've heard what Jacob Rudner has said, what Kendall Rogers has said, everybody's saying you're going to get an elite coach. So you got to feel pretty good about that. I also feel like Zach showed some real decisiveness 2 years ago when he pulled the plug on Zach Arnett. Clearly going nowhere, but a lot of people would have said, well, it's his first year, maybe I should give him He saw it was going nowhere, and he's like, pull the plug. We got to get out of this right now. And they did. On top of that, from a financial standpoint, from where he was, where State was when he got here to where State is today is night and day. Mississippi State was not in a good spot in the NIL space when Zach Selman took over. Because Mississippi State's athletic director thought selling baseballs was going to get money into this program for NIL. Game changer, I was told. Zach Selman has put Mississippi State in a spot where they are competitive in the NIL space. And if you want to question that, that's fine. But I promise you all the players that State signed for football, basketball, and baseball this year didn't come free. And Josh Hubbard doesn't stay at Mississippi State just because he loves Mississippi State. And it costs money. So State's NIL is in a really good spot right now. You just had a record gift to the athletic department. State, within an hour of announcing or of the news breaking of Selman's extension, State announces they have another $1 million gift coming in towards the IPF. You've put a master plan into place, and you're starting to act on it. And what I would tell you is, if you're grading Zach Selman, it's got to be an incomplete, because we've got to see where it goes with Levy. And that is, you know, that is where he'll be ultimately graded. To a certain extent, with this fan base, with Mississippi State, he'll be graded on the baseball hire, more so than he would be at other places. Because baseball is just so important and such a big part of the fabric of what is Mississippi State. But I give someone a lot of credit for realizing that. A lot of some athletic directors would have just been like, well, baseball is not a revenue sport. You know, it loses money most years, and in the years where it makes money, it doesn't make very much. So, you know, if they're going to the postseason this year, it's fine. I don't care. Zach Selman realized that Mississippi State baseball is important to Mississippi State fans, and he gave them some hope. And again, all indications are the coaching search is going to land a top candidate. And I am of the belief that with the right coach in place, Mississippi State can be a top three year-in, year-out college baseball program. And if you ask me why I think that, I would tell you that from 2016 to 2021, they went to five Super Regionals in a row, they went to three College World Series, and they won a national title, and they did it with four different coaches. Cohen, Cannizzaro, Henderson, Lamonas. What can I get out of if I had a truly elite coach all 5 years? What do I get? So, you know, you guys know that I love to get on the athletic directors for giving coaches contracts in the middle of. We had it yesterday on Sports Talk. We talked about Brett Bielema getting a extension on May 14th or May 13th. Who's trying to hire a coach on May 13th? Well, athletic directors don't have a season. So their contracts can go wherever you want them to. I don't have a problem with that. My thought process with this is this. Zach Selman has done a lot to get Mississippi State into a position where it can be competitive in this, what we'll call the new age of college athletics. Mississippi State financially is in a good spot. They're okay. They were not okay 2.5, 3 years ago when he took over. They were not. Are there still things to work on? Absolutely. And I'm sure Zach Selman would be the first one to tell you that. He would absolutely be the ones like, hey, I understand. Football has to get right. If you ask me my thoughts on Jeff Levy via Zach Selman, I wouldn't even say I'm cautiously optimistic, but I know that Levy is a good coach. I don't know if he's made some of the correct choices in terms of his personnel, but Levy himself is a good coach. So I want to see what happens this year. I feel like I'll know a lot at the end of the first game, to be totally honest with you. State goes down there and handles Southern Mississippi. Okay. They should be all right. It's close. We'll talk about that, though, on Labor Day. But Selman deserves the recognition. And again, if you feel like you got the right guy in place, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, especially if you feel like down the road you don't have the right guy in place and you want to make a move, then keep him around. Give him a deal. I got no problem with it. I like Zach. I think he likes me. He's such a politician, man. He might not actually like me. He did offer me the job as the Mississippi State head baseball coach. We couldn't come to an agreement on compensation, though. It happens. So good. We'll see what happens with him. All right. We'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning. on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you've got it.
All right, let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys being with me here on a Wednesday evening. Appreciate it, Rhino. Once again, he has succeeded in taking us all the way to the end without what I would call any kind of you know, hardship. So I appreciate you, Rhino. Thank you, as always. Little basketball news before we get out of here. Mississippi State announced, or not, I'm sorry, Mississippi State, I don't think has announced it. I haven't seen it. It's on the schedule. It's on the, if you go to halestate.com, it's on the schedule. But Mississippi State will be playing Iowa State at Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in the Pentagon there. Not the Pentagon in Washington. Iowa State is a year-in, year-out, really, really good basketball program. State's non-conference basketball schedule that they've announced, now obviously there'll be some more teams in there, and you know there'll be some pushovers in there at some point, but Iowa State on November 10th. November 20th, they're in the Hall of Fame Classic with Kansas State, Nebraska, and New Mexico. So some, you know, some decent programs there. And then SMU on November the 28th. Of course, if you remember last week, I guess we didn't talk about it on this show, but they announced the doubleheader of football and basketball, the Egg Bowl on Black Friday, November the 28th, 11 a.m. kickoff, and then this SMU game. They haven't announced a time yet. We were debating that on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast. I say this game, they need to play that game at like 3 or 4. Don't give anybody a chance to go home. You schedule that game for 6, and you're going to have some people, when they get out of the football game, go, we could be home by the time this game tips off if you live in Jackson or something. So I would tip it off earlier. Robbie thinks it'll be 6. We'll see. And then December 20th, Memphis comes to Starkville for the return game of that series. So you got that. I believe State will play Utah at a neutral site game this year. They played them, remember, last year in South Haven, so they're supposed to play one closer to Utah this year. And then you'll have the SEC-ACC tournament or challenge game. State would be on the road this year because they hosted Pitt last year. But, man, you've got some pretty solid non-conference games to build that schedule up. And that's something that, you know, Jans has been really good about. He's played good, pretty good non-conference schedules, and that's why, you know, for the most part, State's gone into conference play already in a good spot as far as their net rating. I'm very interested in this basketball team. We're all kind of waiting on that last piece of the transfer portal, if it's going to be our guy VAL, Van Allen Lubin, former from Vanderbilt and then North Carolina, was predicted to go to Mississippi State last year and ends up going to North Carolina. Now he's just kind of hanging out there in the portal, and we're just waiting. We're just, every day you're just looking at Twitter like, is today the day with Van Allen? I don't know. I don't know if he's, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm at the point where I'm just looking at him going, dude, either go or get off the pot. Let's all move on with our lives here. But we'll have to wait and see. But you know, Hubbard hasn't officially announced he's coming back from the draft. He's coming back from the draft. He didn't get invited to the combine. He'll be back. He's just going to wait. Here's what's going to happen, folks. It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. On the day of, there will be a video released by Hale State Men's Basketball with all his highlights and him talking about how much he loves Starkville and how much there's unfinished business and I'm back. It's going to happen. Just go ahead and set your watch to it. You know, I've been around long enough to know how these things work. They did it with Dak. They did it with Tolu Smith. They did. That's what they're going to do. They're going to make a production out of it, and they should. They should. Hubbard coming back is big news. I mean, off the top of your head, other than Hubbard coming back, who's the best player in the SEC? Just off the top of your head. I guess it depends on some, you know, a couple of transfers here and there, but, you know, Janiah Broome's gone, and, you know, Kentucky lost a bunch of guys. Florida lost a bunch of guys. You know, Walter Clayton's gone. So, yeah, Hubbard's right there at the top. So State will make a production out of it, as they should. I like this team for next year. But at the same time, you know, Jans has been to 3 straight tournaments. And I'd like to see him advance at this point. It's time to win a game. It's time to win a game if you're Chris Jans. I think I'm not telling him anything by that. He already knows it. but it's got to put it into practice. But again, this is a team that if they handle their business in the non-conference the way they have the past couple of years under Jans, that when we get to late December, early January, and the SEC games start rolling in, they should already be like a top 25 net team. And then it's just, yeah. And I don't think the SEC will still be really, really good. It's not going to be what it was last year. That was a historic season. It's almost impossible to sustain that over another year. Auburn had big losses. Kentucky had big, although Kentucky and Florida have been good in the portal. Don't get me wrong. So is Auburn. I mean, they got Keyshawn Murphy. LSU should be better this year. Ole Miss, I'm very interested to see what Ole Miss is. They haven't had the success in the portal I thought they would. I thought with Beard coming back, and they haven't brought the guys in that I would expect. But Beard's such a good coach, though. They'll be a good team. I don't have any doubt about that. So we'll see. Long way to go to basketball. All right, don't forget Thursday, Friday, Saturday series for Mississippi State against Missouri as the Bulldogs look to close out the regular season and put themselves in position for postseason baseball. Thunder and Lightning podcast tomorrow. If you missed my interview with Aaron Fitt, it's going to be on that podcast. And don't forget on Friday, my talk with Cole Gordon. We talk about Mississippi State baseball interim coaches and some great memories from the 2018 season. For Rono down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.